Chapter 3, A Shakespearean Teaches Narrative by Dr. Heidi Cephas. What you will learn in this chapter. In this chapter, you will learn how to write a narrative that engages your reader and accomplishes your purpose. You will use the framework of theater to think about ways in which you can make your narrative come to life for your audience. By the end of this chapter, you will be ready to construct your own scene, select relevant details, and show your reader the importance of your story. Key terms. The following key terms from the theater world will help you think more deeply about your narrative. Plot, in media res, soliloquy, thrust stage, audience, and spectator. Writing a narrative that comes to life. What is a narrative? In simple terms, a narrative is a story or an account of events. Narratives allow us to identify and explain patterns in the world around us, helping our audience understand our experiences. The storytelling at the center of a narrative is an act of memory making that responds to a basic human desire to be understood and remembered. Shakespeare captures this desire as Hamlet expresses his dying wish to his friend Horatio. If thou didst ever hold me in thy heart, he urges, draw thy breath to tell my story. Lin-Manuel Miranda echoes this sentiment as the cast of Hamilton sings, who lives, who dies, who tells your story, at the end of the musical. Researchers across disciplines of psychology, sociology, anthropology, marketing, literature, and rhetoric and writing studies emphasize the importance of storytelling or narrative to the human experience. Storytelling is something that you already do on a daily basis. When you email a professor after missing class or recount the events of your drive to work to explain why you were late to a boss, you use narrative. You also use narrative to describe the events of a party, game, a class to a friend who is unable to attend. And you consume narrative every day in the conversations you have with friends, the music you listen to, the TV shows you watch, and the media you consume both intentionally and unintentionally. Because stories are so integral to our everyday lives, you have likely noticed narratives vary in their effectiveness. Have you ever listened to a friend tell a story only to ask, perhaps silently, what was the point? Or, even worse, maybe you thought, that doesn't make sense. As you construct your own narrative, you need to make sure that you effectively convey events and communicate your purpose. For this chapter, I define narrative as an account of events organized logically and brought to life for the audience through intentional use of sensory details to accomplish a specific purpose. This definition lays out the key components of a narrative: an account of events, logical organization, an intended audience, use of sensory details, and a specific purpose. Theater and narrative. Writers often hear the advice, show, don't tell. And in theater, everything is about showing. For this reason, this chapter uses the model of theatrical performance to guide you through the writing of a narrative. If you've ever been to a play or watched a movie, you've seen a story come to life. Embodied characters act out events, which are organized with the intention of eliciting certain reactions or emotions from the audience. The actions on stage, the scenery and props, the sound effects, and the speeches create sensory experiences that help the audience feel like they are part of the action. If a play is successful, at the end you understand why the story was staged. Theater contains all the elements of narrative in an amplified form. In this chapter, you will learn to use this knowledge to create more compelling narratives. By imagining the sensory experiences of the theater, you can more easily identify the elements that will bring your stories to life on the page. The theater is especially useful for imagining a narrative come to life for three reasons. First, because theater happens live, it engages all five senses. Second, because theater includes a live audience, it provides a source of direct feedback. And third, because theater happens in a limited space, it requires careful decisions about what details are essential to the story. In these three ways, the theater departs from the medium of film. However, if you have not been to the theater, you may find it helpful to imagine a TV show or a movie when thinking about your narrative. The sections that follow break down the essential parts of a narrative, using examples from the theater to explain each one. Specifically, these sections draw examples from Shakespeare's drama. Shakespeare wrote for what many scholars have termed a bare stage. In other words, he had no elaborate set pieces to help tell the story. Considering the strategies that Shakespeare used can help us become better storytellers. An account of events. Come, let's see the event. Fabian, Twelfth Night, Act 3, Scene 4, Line 395. At the center of any good story are answers to the questions, what happened and to whom. In your narrative, you will answer these questions through your plot and characters. Plot. The plot is the sequence of events in your narrative. As the question, what happened, implies, one of the most essential elements of the plot is conflict and change. When deciding what event to portray in your narrative, think about a moment or experience in which your circumstances changed. Focus on the event or set of events at the center of this change. Then, use basic plot structure to make sure you have included the relevant events. A story starts in equilibrium. This is the time before change occurs. In your story, you might give some background information to help the audience better understand your transformation. Then, a conflict or problem is introduced, which prompts a change. In a narrative, this conflict might be between two people, two ideas, or two sets of values. The conflict produces a reaction or set of events called the rising action. These events build toward the climax, or the point of the story in which the outcome is determined. The events following the climax are called the falling action. This is where all of the things that have been determined in the climax start to fall into place. Finally, you reach the resolution, or the point at which things settle into a new normal. Let's look at how these plot elements play out in Shakespeare's Hamlet. At the beginning of the play, watchmen observe a ghost who looks like Hamlet's father. Equilibrium. The conflict begins when the ghost tells Hamlet that he was poisoned by Claudius, Hamlet's uncle. Conflict. Hamlet wrestles internally with the desire to avenge his father's death and looks for ways to prove Claudius is guilty. Rising action. The conflict comes to a head once Hamlet believes he has proof. Climax. Then, Hamlet confronts his mother, accidentally kills Polonius, is banished, and is challenged to a duel. All the falling action or the consequences of the climax. Finally, the play resolves during the duel as Gertrude drinks from a poisoned cup and Hamlet, Laertes, and Claudius die when struck by Laertes' poisoned sword. Resolution. Imagine if Hamlet had been a well-adjusted character. His father had lived to old age, and Hamlet had inherited the throne just as expected. I don't think it's far-fetched to suggest Shakespeare's play wouldn't have gained nearly as much popularity. Even if your own story doesn't have as much drama as a Shakespearean tragedy, you can use the plot structure to establish which events are crucial to your narrative. As you brainstorm your own narrative, answer the following questions. What were things like before the events? Equilibrium. What happened to create conflict or what prompted a change? Conflict. As a result of this conflict, what happened? Rising action. When did the problem come to a head? Climax. What did you do as a result? Falling action. How was everything resolved? And what are things like now? Resolution. The answers to these questions will provide you with a basic plot outline. Characters. Once you've decided what event to portray, you also need to identify the major and minor characters for your narrative. The major characters are the people who are essential to the story. In other words, the story cannot happen without these characters. When writing a personal narrative, you will be the protagonist, the character who is facing the conflict. The minor characters are there for support. They help add dimension to the story, but the story does not revolve around them. Focus on the main characters. Consider who needs a name and what physical descriptions might help the audience put a face to the name. If you've ever read a play before watching it, you'll notice that many of these descriptions are missing or embedded in conversation. Because you will not have the benefit of the stage, you need to create visual elements through your writing. Imagine that you are staging the episode. Thinking about the people in your story as staged characters will help you identify details that are essential to your understanding of the character and their role in your narrative. How would the character style their hair? What would they be wearing? What would they say, and how would they say it? It might even help to identify the actor who would play the character. Ask yourself what about this actor or their past performances makes them a good representative of the person who they are portraying. Consider the effect of these two versions of the same event. Version 1. When I was in middle school, my friend brought a cow skull to school for show and tell. Version 2. Elizabeth's spiral curls bounced as she reached her freckled, covered arm into the black garbage bag to retrieve her show and tell item. I heard gasps from the other students as she pulled out a cow skull. Version 1 gives the reader basic information, but does not tell the audience anything about the characters. The additional details in version 2 help establish Elizabeth as a character. Presumably, in a longer version, the reader will learn more about her. Perhaps that she received the nickname Frizzy Lizzie from her friends, or that she spent hours outside each day on her parents' farm. The spiral curls and the freckles become small reminders of larger aspects of her character. In this example, the other students are the minor characters, who provide context but are not assigned names. In your narrative, use less details when discussing minor characters. Similar to the above example, Shakespeare assigns names to his major characters, Hamlet, Romeo, Juliet, and Cleopatra, while relegating minor characters to their positions, first gentleman, gravedigger, or page. You might follow a similar model, refer to these characters collectively, for example as the crowd, or other customers, or even choose to exclude minor characters from your narrative altogether. Regardless, make sure all details about your major or minor characters are relevant to the story. Logical organization. Order gave each thing view. Duke of Norfolk, Henry VIII, Act 1, Scene 1, Line 44. Once you have decided what events to portray and which characters to depict, you must decide on the order of events. While the plot describes the chronological order in which events occur, you may choose to present your story in a different logical order. For example, you might start with a climax of your story and then use flashbacks or dialogue to show the reader how you got to that point. Or you may choose to keep your events in chronological order but skip forward in time, highlighting the most important events. Where to start? Students often struggle with how to start their narrative. From a practical point of view, you probably do not want to start by writing your introduction. Start with the material that comes easiest to you, or the part of your story that you are most excited to write. Once you have a draft, you can figure out how to introduce your narrative. First drafts often begin and end by telling the reader why the experience was significant. Although, as a drafting technique, it might make sense to establish the purpose before you start writing, once you get to the final draft, consider what you want the introduction to accomplish and what the audience needs to know before they continue. Rather than contextualization, the audience needs to get a feel of the characters, setting, and tone of the story. Place yourself in the audience of a theater. Imagine if you sat down and the play began with a 10-minute explanation of the theme, the characters' backgrounds, and all the events that preceded the action. You would probably be bored, and you might even walk out of the theater. To grab the audience's attention, plays often start in medias res, or in the midst of things. Here's an example from the beginning of Act 1, Scene 1 of Shakespeare's Hamlet. "Who's there? Nay, answer me. Stand and unfold yourself. Long live the king! Bernardo? He. You come most carefully upon your hour. 'Tis now struck 12. Get thee to bed, Francisco. For this relief, much thanks. 'Tis bitter cold and I'm sick at heart. Have you had quiet guard? Not a mouse stirring. Well, good night. If you do meet Horatio and Marcellus, the rivals of my watch, bid them make haste." Notice how the play starts with a verbal exchange. The play does not provide the audience with background information about the two characters. At the beginning of the scene, the audience doesn't know who Bernardo or Francisco are, or even that they are Bernardo and Francisco. We don't know the occasion of their meeting or the significance of it. Instead, Shakespeare drops the audience into the action as if they have just walked into the middle of a conversation. By the end of this short exchange, however, the audience has learned the two characters' names, that the two characters function as some sort of guards working in shifts, that the night so far has been relatively uneventful, and that Horatio and Marcellus are rivals. The tension in the first exchange, created with the short responses, suggests the possibility that Francisco and Bernardo are leaving something unsaid, a suspicion confirmed with the entrance of Horatio and Marcellus only a few lines later. Through this exchange, Shakespeare sets the tone and gives the audience information needed to understand the story. As you are writing your narrative, consider whether you can use a short scene to establish tone and key ideas. Past events. In Hamlet, we find out from the ghost that the rumor that Hamlet's father died when a serpent stung him is false. The ghost informs Hamlet and the audience that the serpent that did sting Hamlet's father now wears his crown. Act 1, Scene 5, lines 39 through 40. In case Hamlet or the audience missed this accusation of his own brother Claudius, the ghost more clearly articulates, "Thy uncle stole with juice of cursed Hebanon in a vial, and in the porches of my ear did pour the leprous distillment. Thus was I sleeping by a brother's hand of life, of crown, of queen, at once dispatched." Act 1, Scene 5, lines 61 to 64 and 74 to 75. This murder happens prior to the actions on stage. By the time the play begins, Hamlet's father is dead and the ghost already haunts Denmark. The murder is, however, crucial to the events that unfold on stage. Without this accusation, Hamlet would never be driven to revenge his father's foul and most unnatural murder. Act 1, Scene 5, line 25. Rather than give the audience this context before the action starts, Shakespeare includes it in the fifth scene. In doing so, he influences audience perception. Already introduced to the skepticism that other characters have expressed about the ghost, the audience must decide whether to trust this information or disregard it. Their decision affects how they judge Hamlet for the remainder of the play. The introduction of past events at this moment is intentional and provides an organic way to incorporate these details. In your narrative, you may similarly use dialogue to provide important context for current events. For example, your friend might say, "Remember when we went to Dairy Queen? I forgot my wallet and Clint brought it to me." If Clint is an important character, this story might explain how you first met. You can also recall past events by using flashbacks or by communicating your internal thoughts. There are many ways to do this. You can use markers like "last year" or "a similar event occurred when I was 5. You can also jump back in time. Sometimes a space between paragraphs is enough to clue in your reader. Or you can communicate your thoughts through writing that parallels a soliloquy, or the type of speech an actor gives to himself and the audience, but not the other characters on stage. Let's say you are pulling up in your friend's driveway. You could use the drive to recall the first time you pulled into that same spot, or a moment when you fought with that friend in front of her house. Gaps in time. When deciding how to organize your narrative, also consider how you will handle the gaps between major events. For example, maybe you had a key experience at 5 that influenced how you dealt with another experience at 18. You won't have time in your narrative to write about everything that happened between 5 and 18, so you can use that space to strategically connect material. My favorite example of Shakespeare jumping forward in time happens between Act 3 and Act 4 of The Winter's Tale. Act 3 ends with a detailed scene where a shepherd and his son find an abandoned infant and observe a shipwreck. Act 4 elaborates on the preparations for a sheep shearing festival 16 years later. Time, portrayed by an actor on stage, gives a speech bridging this gap and noting the important events that have happened during this span. The abandoned infant has been raised as a shepherd's daughter. 16 years have passed. The baby's father has grieved, and a new character, Florizel, has entered the action. Zoom in on what's important and zoom out on the filler material. In your narrative, consider which events need the stage treatment. In other words, if you were depicting the experience on stage, which actions would you depict and which would you describe? See the section on sensory details below for more information on how to bring your events to life.